William, you can feel free to select any of those songs for our spring sing if you'd like. Those are just outstanding songs, and appreciative of our song singing this morning as we sing praises to God. Once a month, we're going to be looking at a lesson on why we believe. And so earlier, several weeks ago, we had a lesson on why we believe. And the content of that lesson or sermon was dealt primarily with our acts of worship and things like why we sing and don't play and why we observe the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week and so forth. And so throughout this year, Lord willing, each month we'll be looking at a lesson that draws our attention to things that we believe and practice, but with the import or the emphasis on why. And so it's important as Christians to know why we believe what we believe and why we do what we do. And in the religious world, and maybe in other areas in life, but certainly in the religious world, there are far too many people who have very little understanding, if any at all, as to why they believe what they believe and do what they do. And a lot of people, it comes down to tradition. This is what our family has believed, and this is what our family has practiced. If it's not tradition, then maybe it's what's popular. It's what everyone else is doing, and so they just simply follow the crowd, so to speak. And so God actually calls upon us as His people to understand and to know why it is we do believe what we believe and why it is that we practice what we practice. And so this morning we're going to be looking at why we believe baptism is necessary for salvation. Now the subject of baptism is hotly contested in the religious world. There are many who suggest that baptism is not necessary for salvation. But we as God's people, as Christians in the 21st century, we affirm that baptism is necessary for salvation. But as one who affirms the necessity of baptism, why do we affirm it? Why do we believe that it is necessary? In the book of 1 Peter 3:15, Peter wrote, "But sanctify in your hearts Christ as Lord, being ready always to give an answer." Some translations might use the English word defense, but "be always ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason concerning the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and fear." And so over the course of these lessons, they'll be designed that maybe in two part. One, that as God's people, we will equip ourselves that we would be able to explain to somebody, say for example this morning, why we believe. That you would be able to explain to somebody why you believe that baptism is necessary for salvation. And maybe secondly, maybe there's someone here this morning who has never heard these things, these truths taught, or maybe have questioned the necessity of baptism, that we would be able to affirm in your heart today, based on God's revealed word, that you would come to know that baptism is necessary for our salvation, and why so. Notice, first of all, that baptism is necessary for salvation because Jesus Himself commanded baptism. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned." Now, the saved one in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16 is clearly the one who believes and is baptized. Now, those who stand in opposition to the necessity of baptism often argue from this very passage, at least they attempt to argue, well, Jesus didn't say, "But he who does not believe and is not baptized will be condemned." Well, that's because Jesus didn't have to say that in that fashion. I've always appreciated the debate that Larry Haefeli had with a Baptist preacher named Thomas Ross in Alameda, California. I believe it occurred in the early 2000s. It was actually recorded on DVD. You can actually request a copy of it and watch it. And so in that debate, of course, Thomas Ross tried, the Baptist preacher tried to debate from Mark 16:16 that, well, God didn't say, "He who does not believe and is not baptized will be condemned," in an effort to somehow minimize or to do away with the necessity of baptism. But Larry Haefeli put up on the screen a parallel statement. And the parallel statement said, he who eats and digests shall be full. But he who does not eat shall not be full. And it clearly illustrates, right, that if I eat and digest, I will be full, right? If I eat food and my body digested, I will be full. But in the latter part of that, to parallel Mark 16, 16, he who does not eat shall not be full. Now, why do I not have to say he who does not eat and does not digest, or he who does not eat and digest shall not be full? Common sense. If I do not eat food, my body has nothing to digest, and therefore I'm not going to be full. And Jesus did not have to say, he who does not believe and is not baptized, because if you do not believe, what are you not going to do? You're not going to be baptized. And therefore, in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, the individual who is saved in the Lord's teaching is the one who believes and is baptized. In the book of Matthew chapter 28 and verse 28, when Jesus commissioned the apostles in Matthew's account to go out into all the world and preach the gospel, Jesus said that all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And so the one who possesses all authority commanded men to believe and be baptized to be saved. That is, the Lord's authoritative voice commanded all men everywhere to believe and be baptized to be saved. But notice the second observation as to why we believe that baptism is necessary for salvation. How about because the apostles taught the necessity of it? In the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The apostles taught the necessity of baptism. Well, why'd they teach it? Because the Lord commanded it. And the apostles taught it because they understood that it was necessary for salvation. Matter of fact, it was Peter in 1 Peter 3:21. In the King James Version, it reads the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Now, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. You could study, for example, the Apostle Paul and his missionary work. So in Acts chapter 16, where do we find Paul? We find him in Philippi. What's he doing? He's in jail. He has an opportunity to share the gospel with this jailer. And in Acts 16, 33, we know that the jailer was commanded by Paul. He was taught by Paul concerning the necessity of baptism. Why? Because he heard it and he was baptized. Or when Paul was at Corinth in Acts 18, verse 8, the narrative says that the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Do you know why you believe that baptism is necessary for salvation? Well, because the Lord commanded it, the apostles taught it. In Acts chapter 19 and verse 5, the Ephesians were baptized. Why? Paul commanded them, Paul taught them that baptism was necessary for salvation. And by the way, all who would call upon the name of the Lord to be baptized for the remission of their sins. How about a third reason? Again, we're trying to emphasize or show the import of to understand or to know why you believe what you believe. If you're here and you've already been baptized, do you know why you obeyed the command to be baptized? Do you know why you believe it was necessary to do so? Thirdly, how about because first century converts understood the necessity of it? If you have your Bible, we'll just do a quick exercise together. If you open up to Acts chapter 2, we're just going to quickly, just in a few moments here, we're going to walk through the cases of conversion in the book of Acts. And it won't take but a few moments. Acts chapter 2 and in verse 41. It says, then those who gladly received his word, by the way, these are first century men and women. Then they that gladly received his word, that was Peter who was preaching, says they were baptized. They understood. Why? Because in Acts 2:38, Peter commanded them, that is after they had asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to repent and be baptized. And they understood the import of that command, the necessity of that command for the remission of their sins, because they heard the command and they obeyed it and they were baptized. How about in Acts chapter 8? In Acts chapter 8 and verse 13, the conversion of Simon. Then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, every case of conversion in the book of Acts began with men and women hearing the gospel preached. And every single case ended with them being baptized. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 38, this is the conversion of the eunuch. It says, so he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Why command the chariot to stand still if baptism was not necessary for salvation? The eunuch commanded it to come to a standstill because he understood that he recognized a body of water sufficient enough to be buried in. He understood the necessity of the command, and therefore he submitted to it willfully. And Philip baptized the eunuch. How about in Acts chapter 9 in the case of Saul of Tarsus? In Acts chapter 9 and verse 18, it states, immediately there fell from his eyes some things like scales. Remember, he was blinded on the road to Damascus. And there, here he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. Later on in Acts 22, Saul gives an account. He retells his conversion. Of course, in Acts 9, he was told to go into the city, and Jesus said to him, you'll be told what you must do. And when Saul went into Damascus, he met Ananias. And Ananias was the one who told Saul what to do to be saved. You ever wondered what Ananias told him? Well, in Acts 22 and verse 16, Ananias says to Saul of Tarsus, later Paul, he says, and now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And so Saul of Tarsus obeyed the command. Why? Because he was a man who lived in the first century and he understood the necessity of it. But notice in Acts chapter 16, how about Lydia, a woman who hears the gospel? In Acts chapter 16, she hears the gospel from Paul. And in Acts chapter 16 and verse number 15, it says, and when she and her household were baptized. By now, we ought to be able to recognize that these first century individuals, men and women, understood the necessity of it. They understood that baptism was necessary in order to be saved, in order to have the remission of their sins, to be forgiven. Why? Because they heard it taught, right, by Peter and the apostles. Jesus had commanded it while alive on this earth, and therefore they submitted to it. How about in Acts chapter 16 and verse 33, the Philippian jailer? The Philippian jailer said, and he took them, that is Paul and Silas, the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. He washed or tended to their wounds. Remember, they had been beaten. And then the narrative says, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. How about in Acts 18:8, as we just mentioned a moment ago, the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Acts 19 and verse 5, the conversion of the Ephesians. It says, when they heard this, so Paul was with them here. They had previously been baptized with the baptism of John, and so they needed to be baptized with the baptism of the Great Commission to be baptized for the remission of their sins. And so Paul's teaching about these different kinds of baptisms and what they need to do. And after hearing Paul teach the truth on the matter, it says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, these folks were baptized because they first heard the word of God preached. They came to know and understand that baptism was required by God for salvation, and therefore necessary, and complied with the command and were baptized for the remission of their sins. We could just stop the lesson right here. And these three basic observations would be sufficient enough that why we believe baptism is necessary for salvation, because Jesus commanded it. The apostles taught the necessity of it. First century Christians or converts understood the necessity of it because they complied with the command. But there's more to observe from the Bible. Consider number four. Well, I guess I could have put those up for you. But we just read them together. Just read the book of Acts, and you'll know that baptism is necessary for salvation. Number four. How about because we're baptized for the remission of sins? In Acts chapter 2 and 37, again, Peter's there in Jerusalem. The apostles are there. Peter stands up and he preaches the gospel. And by the way, the audience that is before him is the very people who cried out for Jesus to be crucified. And here we are now in Acts chapter 2, and right, many weeks after, and on the day of Pentecost, and Peter preaches the gospel, and after hearing it, after having their hearts pricked, because Peter tells them that you crucified, right, Jesus. And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. That's what the gospel does. It pricks us in the heart. Your Bible heart's right here. Your heart, your conscience, right? And now that they've been taught the truth, right, your conscience is a product of what you've been taught. And for many years, the Jews had been taught that Jesus was not the Messiah, right? Many had rejected the Messiah. And so when they cried out to crucify him, it didn't affect their conscience. It didn't bother them one bit. But after learning that Jesus is the Messiah, is the anointed one, he is or was or is who he said he was or is, the Son of God, they had their conscience pricked. They've now been taught the truth. They've come to learn through teaching, through the miracle signs and wonders, through the Lord's own resurrection from the dead. And so they say to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What do we do? What would God have us to do? They want to know. What are God's terms? Now that they know that they were party to the crucifixion of Jesus and that Jesus died, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Folks, we're not saved before baptism. Jesus himself said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. The Baptists especially argue the English word for here comes from the Greek word, or is translated from the Greek word ace. And so the Baptists especially, but other religions, argue that a person is baptized because of the remission of sins. No, for the remission of sins. That is to say, we are baptized in order to be saved. We're not saved and then baptized. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Peter said to be baptized for or in order to obtain remission of sins. And so we believe that baptism is necessary because we are baptized in order to obtain remission of sins, in order to be forgiven. How about number five? How about because salvation is in Christ? In 2 Timothy 2:10, Paul wrote to Timothy. Timothy was a fellow laborer in the kingdom. He was going to do the work of an evangelist. And so Paul has a lot to say about that to Timothy. And in the midst of his writing, Paul says, therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation. Where is it, Paul? Where is salvation obtained? Where is it found? And Paul says, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. If salvation is in Christ, right, how do I get in there? Isn't that a pertinent question or observation? That if salvation is in Christ, and by the way, Paul, an inspired writer, an apostle, taught that salvation, as he was led by the Holy Spirit, the revelator of God's will, that salvation is in Christ, it would be a pertinent, relative, important question to ask or consider, how do I get into Christ? Well, Galatians 3:27 reveals, for as many of you, talking to the Galatians, Paul said, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. One gets into Christ by being baptized. And that's, by the way, where salvation is. In Acts 2:47 says, and the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. Some think, like the Baptists or other religions, They teach that baptism just makes you join a church by being baptized. So a lot of religions teach that you're saved before baptism, and that when you're baptized, that adds you to that church. So you want to be a member of a church across town. Well, you just accept Jesus in your heart. You just believe, and then you want to be a member there. You're baptized. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says in Acts 2:47, and the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved. What were they doing in Acts chapter 2 that were being saved? Well, we read a moment ago in verse 41. They that gladly received His word were baptized. The Lord adds us to the church. That is the universal church. And then after being baptized, we work with, we labor, we identify with. And so, somebody's baptized here. If they're going to live in this area, they can identify this, that we're going to work and worship with the church here. Or if not here, another faithful local church. But the Lord adds us to the church. That's the universal church. That's all of the saved collectively. And then we work and worship with a local body, like the church at and church at Galatia, church at Ephesus, church at Corinth, church at Barberton. Unless one is baptized, he or she will remain outside the body of Christ, and therefore in an unsaved condition. That's not what I taught. That's what the Bible teaches. How about another example or point? How about number 6? How about simply because the Bible says that baptism saves? And 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. I have watched, it's hours and hours. It went three nights maybe, that debate between Larry Haefeli and that Baptist preacher, Thomas Ross. And I have the DVDs and I've watched them several times. So it went multiple nights, and they discussed or debated different subject matters. But one of the things that I appreciate about Larry Haefeli, faithful gospel preacher, who some have suggested is among the among the best debaters of this current generation, throughout that debate, he would just keep putting up passages like this. And Thomas Ross, the Baptist preacher, would get up there, and he was a self-professed Greek scholar, and put up all kinds of Greek things and just make all kinds of arguments. And Larry would get right back up when it was his turn, and he'd put up passages like this one, 1 Peter 3:21 or Mark 16:16. And Larry would say this. He'd say, it still says the same thing. You can't argue, right? Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And, right? Jesus said what he said. Peter said what he said. You can try to argue it away, but at the end, it still reads what it reads. Peter said, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Peter said that baptism saves. Read it. And folks in the denominational world can make any kind of argument they want, and often do so without regard of the text, the context, often do so without any regard with other passages in which the Bible talks about the same subject, without even any regard for rightly dividing God's word. And in the end, it still says the same thing. Peter said, baptism doth also now save us. Read it. Let me give you one more. Lesson will be yours. Number 7. How about because in baptism we figuratively contact the blood of Christ. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, Paul said, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? If you're here this morning and you have been baptized already for the remission of your sins, you were baptized into the death of Jesus. Do you know what happened in the death of Jesus? What occurred in the death of Jesus? Jesus in His death shed His blood. Paul said, therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. How is the blood of Jesus applied? The blood of Jesus is said to wash away our sins. Well, how is it applied? It's applied figuratively in baptism. Baptism figures the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That just as Jesus was crucified, buried, and arose, we put to death our earthly members, sin. We are buried in the waters of baptism, at which point we figuratively contact the blood of Jesus. The water doesn't mysteriously or magically turn to blood. It's a figure of speech. It's a figure portrayed in our obedience to the gospel. And we too, like Christ, arise from the waters of baptism to walk in newness of life. In Revelation 1:5, John said, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Again, how is that blood applied? How does that blood wash us? It's applied figuratively in baptism. And so why we believe baptism is necessary for salvation? It's important. Matter of fact, it's vitally important. Listen, you don't have to be able to quote every one of these passages we've looked at by memory. And maybe you wouldn't even be able to recall on the spot all 7 points. But it's important to understand why we believe what we believe. And so whether it's acts of worship, whether it's certain commands that are given in the New Testament that God requires men to obey today, a command, by the way, you've submitted to because you've come to understand that it was necessary for salvation. It's important to know why you believe it, why did you do it, right? It's like that parent-child thing. Your child, you know, does something and mom and dad ask why, and the child stands there stuttering like they don't know, as if they don't know why, right? Or sometimes in a religious world, people don't know why. They say things like, "Well, my preacher said so." Don't ever make that argument. You're trying to talk about spiritual things. My preacher said so. No, if your preacher teaches the truth, that's one thing, but God said so. The Bible said so. It says it right here in Mark 16:16. Jesus commanded it. The apostles taught it, Acts 2:38. And first century converts understood it, Acts 2:8, 9, 10, 11, 16, 18, 19. Because we're baptized for remission of our sins. Salvation is in Christ. We get into Christ by being baptized. Because Peter said that baptism saves. And because in baptism we contact figuratively the blood of Christ. And so God's spoken about the matter. And God's spoken and written word makes it abundantly clear that baptism is necessary for salvation. We're going to sing song number 205, Amazing Grace. Maybe you're here this morning, never obeyed the gospel in baptism. There's an opportunity here this day, this hour, to do so. To come before God, His throne of grace and mercy, having heard the gospel, the good news of Jesus the Christ, to believe in God and His Son, to repent of your sins, to order your life after the word and will of God, to determine to live soberly, righteously, and godly. That if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, make confession of it before men. Like the eunuch did in Acts 8:37 when he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And then as we've studied, be baptized. Why? Because God said it was necessary for salvation. And you can arise from the waters of baptism to walk in newness of life. Maybe you've done those things. And God has a standard for His people to live by. And there'll be times as Christians that we'll err, we'll sin, we'll miss the mark. But if we forsake God and sin, we need to repent of it and pray to God for forgiveness. And maybe you're here this morning and would like to request the prayers of this good church. We could pray with you. Maybe you've got a need spiritually or otherwise that we could help you with and pray for you. And if that be the case, we'd be glad to do so. We're going to sing 205. If you're subject, you can come while together we stand and sing.